Do you spend a lot of time in planes, trains, and automobiles? Then you should try an audiobook. Audiobooks can help you read on the go. And Penguin Random House Audio offers innovative professional tips from successful business influencers such as Charles Duhigg and Sheryl Sandberg, or turn off your work mode and relax with a novel by Jonathan Kellerman or Steve Barry. Visit tryaudiobooks.com for more listening suggestions.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thinking about settling down overseas? Investopedia's CEO, David Siegel, has your guide to retiring abroad, coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
This is Veronica Dagger, and you're listening to Watching Your Wealth, while you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. David Siegel is the chief executive of Investopedia, and he's here to tell us how to retire abroad. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So, David, when you're thinking about retiring abroad, either, you know, immediately or down the road, you need to figure out which country to go to. And so I'm wondering, what have you heard in terms of the popular destinations people check out?
Sure. So the ultra high net worth and high net worth have access to countries and opportunities that the average person simply doesn't have access to.
Indeed.
They have access to be able to almost buy their way into permanent visas, and there's almost, in certain ways, institutionalized bribery and to be able to get access to incredible countries and have permanent residency there and purchase property. So the four countries that are the most interesting to the high net worth these days are New Zealand, Monaco, Cayman Islands, and Singapore.
Wow, interesting places. All sound like great places. Tell us, you know, how do you figure out what you need if you're going abroad? You know, do you need visas or property laws, or what are some of the things you need to consider?
Yeah, sure. So every country is different. Let's take New Zealand, for example. So in New Zealand, you have to be at least 66 years old. You actually have to be willing to invest at least $500,000 in the country, either buying bonds or buying real estate. You have to have a minimum of a few hundred thousand dollars in one's bank account, and then, and only then, will you be able to buy property. Monaco is a lot more lenient.
Hmm.
Monaco, it's amazing. Over 60% of the population of Monaco are actually expats.
Really? I had no idea.
Yep. In fact, Monaco has the highest percentage of ultra-high net worth individuals and from an indexing perspective, anywhere else in the world. It's about five times the indexing of the United States.
Very interesting. Very cool. So tell us, if you're thinking about getting serious about moving abroad, what do you need to think about when it comes to health care, for example?
Sure. So health care, I think anywhere you go, you're going to want to get private health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
There are first-class services in all those four countries. But inevitably, it's important to get private health insurance. You're not going to actually be able to pay with your private health insurance. You're going to end up paying in cash, and then you'll get reimbursement with the insurance. If you enjoy filling in lots of forms, then it's a great situation for you because there will be, unfortunately, plenty of forms to have to fill out.
Oh, man.
But you want to get private insurance.
Mm. And what
security
about,
is another issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about security? Because I would think some places you want to be a little bit more cautious about.
Absolutely. So the best study I found around security is by the Institute for Economics and Peace. They have something called the Global Peace Index. And they rank every country in terms of safety around terrorism, security, et cetera, from 1 to 162. So, for example, Syria is 162. That would not be a place to retire in. Number one and number two are Iceland and Denmark. And like we talked about, New Zealand happens to be the fourth ranked. Singapore is the 24th ranked. And just to give you context, the U.S. is actually 94th ranked. So
really?
More likely than,
Wow, I'm surprised.
Well, there's quite a few cases of theft in the U.S.
I see.
In the cities, there are greater cases of murder, et cetera.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, I guess the bigger the country, too. What about banking and taxes and all that fun stuff?
Oh, gosh. Who doesn't love taxes, especially this season right now? So we'll talk about taxes first. There are some onerous tax forms that one has to fill out. One's called the FinCEN Form 114. Another one's called the FBAR. It's not a coincidence that they both start with the letter F, I would say. anyone with over $10,000 in assets starting in 2014, has to fill out these forms. You have to fill out other forms if you own property in foreign countries. You have to fill out even more forms if those properties are in LLCs. There's a lot of forms you have to fill out. The good news is that if you're a high net worth individual and you have the money to go to some of these countries, then likely you are not going to be filling the forms out yourself, and that's what accountants are for. And you'll pay the accountant a couple extra $100 to fill these forms out, and you'll be good as gold.
Right, indeed. You probably have an entire staff working for you if you're in this sort of position and that kind of ability to buy into a country, so to speak. I'm wondering, the whole thing with the Panama Papers, do you think this is going to put increased scrutiny on people who are thinking about doing this?
It absolutely will.
Yeah.
The backlash from the Panama Papers has been fascinating. The number of people who are calling for governments and greater levels of disclosure, it's only going to be increasing. I think this is a tipping point, in fact. In terms of opening up bank accounts, it's actually not that complicated. Most American major banks have local branches in all these different countries. Go into a local branch, you likely will have to have a higher minimum deposit mm-hmm. in those local branches than you would in a U.S. bank. And you would think that all these banks actually want wealthy U.S. citizens' money. In reality, there's actually a disincentive for these banks to have U.S. citizens' money.
Because so much of the regulatory issues that they have to deal with because of that, I'm sure, plays a big part.
You nailed it, Veronica. Exactly. The U.S. passed a law in 2010 called the FATCA, mm-hmm. which is the Foreign Accounts Tax Compliance Act, where there's significantly more just administrative burden for banks to have to fill out, specifically around U.S. citizens that have over $50,000 in assets in the bank, and it's just a pain for many countries. And there's a particular backlash, actually, in both Switzerland and the U.K., and in Canada, I may add, due to all this additional regulation.
Indeed. David, we've got about 20 seconds left. Any last tips for people who are thinking about retiring abroad?
Sure. Number one is look at currency fluctuations. Don't assume that just because the currency happens to be the exchange rate today, that it's going to be that in 4 or 5 years. It's very favorable for us for the most part right now relative to most of the world. It's not going to stay that way. The second is we actually see quite a few people interested in learning how to renounce their citizenship. They think that they could save on taxes, the U.S. citizenship. You can't. If you want to renounce your citizenship, you still have to be subject to taxes for the next 10 years. So don't bother.
Great points. Thanks for joining us, David.
Sure.
This has been Watching Your Wealth, a production of The Wall Street Journal. I'm Veronica Dagger. For more information, check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.